Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Divine Transmissions with Janet, formerly called Living Astrology. I'm still Living Astrology as business for now, but the show is now called Divine Transmissions with Janet. Thank you all for being here this morning. It's time to grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above us and also in our human design for the weekend ahead. And as I was just chattering behind the scenes this morning with TD Hawk, I said, happy Friday. It's going to be a great weekend, right? And yes, she says, she claims that. Yes, I claim that as well. It's going to be a great weekend. You know, always the astrology is playing in the background and giving us opportunities at every moment to claim the good from the transit, right? Or to fall prey to the shadow in the transit. So today we're going to do a combination show. We're going to be doing a lot of talking about human design because that's kind of uppermost in the charts right at the moment. We'll do a bit of astrology and as well kind of combine those two different systems so that you can understand more deeply about what is happening in your own life. So if you can, today is a great day to have your human design chart in front of you, as well as your personal astrology chart. But today I'm also going to be putting up the chart of the day on the screen so that you can see, because there's a concept that I want to make sure everybody understands. So let's just give you kind of the quick agenda. We're going to first talk about the moon, of course, in Pisces, which is where it is from now until midday tomorrow. And then we'll talk about the transition of the moon into Aries for the rest of the weekend, give you some clues about what to expect there, because that's a big change when you're talking Pisces, you know, kind of gentle confusion or sort of the sublime moved into the action-oriented Aries energy. So we'll experience this transition. And then we're going to talk about Jupiter at the gate 8. If you joined me on Wednesday with Tam, you probably already heard a bit about Jupiter's big move into this gate 8, which sits on the throat center of your human design. We'll talk more about that. And then the week of the May 3rd through 8th, Human Design Week, I'm speaking, not full calendar week, where the Sun and Earth are in some very good energies for us. And also Saturn, not to be outshined by Jupiter, also makes a move on the 5th, so not until Sunday, into the gate 22 on the solar plexus, which brings some energy of emotions to the surface for all of us. So we'll want to know about that. And he is in that gate for from May 5th until August 25th. So for a good chunk of the summer, we're going to be dealing with this emotional energy through Saturn. And that should take us to the end of the hour. Let me say a quick good morning to people who are checking in. Of course, good morning, TD Hawk. It was great to see you here first thing. There's Tom. Hello to you, Narges. Good morning, Joan. Good morning. And to all of you in the background that I can kind of see but not tell who you are, welcome to the morning show. And happy Taurus season to you as well, Joan. And it's interesting because those energies right now in Taurus are really, you know, that drumbeat is getting louder. We still have one planet yet to go moving into Taurus, which will be Mercury. I think it's the 15th of this month. And is it the 15th? Yep, 15th. Woohoo! Good memory. And that will be five planets in that one sign. That's a lot. That's a stellium plus. So we have a lot of that energy going on. And the one concept that I want to teach today is about how the polar opposite signs. So we have a lot of planets in Pisces, in Aries, and in Taurus. And that means on the opposite side, we have Virgo, and we have Libra, and we have Scorpio all being impacted as well. So I want to talk to you about what does that polarizing feel like? What are the shadows it's bringing up? What are the things that we're being asked to bring into balance and harmony? Because the one thing I've noticed is that for a lot of the people that I've talked to this week, actually for the last couple of weeks, it's been about, you know, all of this, you know, pointed energy moving us in a direction, but it seems like a lot of the shadows are coming up, and the shadows lie in the opposite sign most of the time. Right? There are shadows in the sign that everything is moving through as well, but it tends to actually energize and magnify and attract the shadows from the opposite sign. So I'll take you through that today. And I've got a graphic sort of made up for that, that you all can print screen if you'd like, or, you know, screen munch so that you can keep it. But first, let's talk about where the moon is today. The moon is in this wonderful sign of Pisces that is all about the dreamy, more sensitive side of things, intuition, our dreaminess. And it was interesting last night as I was just drifting off to sleep, I had one window open in my house. I was turned toward Terry, so I was turned with my back to the window. And I just had that one window open. And as I drifted off to sleep, I got a quick dream, a quick mini dream. And it was of this woman who came up behind me in a black dress with red, like hibiscus flowers on it. And she put her arms out like this and scared the bejesus out of me, which caused me to promptly get up and close the window because I sort of had a freak out moment about someone coming up from behind me, scaring me. And then I fell asleep after I closed the window. It was a weird kind of thing. She didn't particularly look threatening, but I took it as a threat and closed the window. It's weird. I've never done that before. I've never had that experience. But when the moon is moving through Pisces energy, we get those intuitions, right? We get those thoughts that maybe are based in intuition or instinct, but also that can come up from fear, right? This fantasy place where, you know, some woman can come up behind me in my own house while I'm sleeping and scare me. So there's that, right? But we are all experiencing heightened sensitivity at this point because the Pisces is a water sign and it's known for its depth, emotional depth, and its sensitive depth. And sensitive could be emotional, but it could also be instinctual or the intuition. And so we may find ourselves more attuned to subtle energy forms and then being in response to those energy forms. It, of course, also prompts more imagination and creativity while the moon is moving through here. We have more empathy and compassion for ourselves, also for one another. Escapism and fantasy, that takes us more into a little bit of the shadow of the moon in Pisces, where the sign of Pisces is associated with escapism, right? Where we got to get away from the real world, where even in our imagination or in our fantasies, we've created an ideal, right? An ideal relationship, an ideal job, an ideal ending to something. And we come face to face with a moon transit in Pisces to those ideals. And it's sometimes where the real world bites us in the butt, right? Especially if we've been in illusion or delusion, where we've refused to face reality, then suddenly it comes at us with a, you know, big shock. And there's also a level of vulnerability in this sign that each of us is feeling. Maybe that's what it really was for me last night, right? The feeling of being vulnerable with my back turned to the window that was open to let in air. Why last night it would have come up, I do not know. I don't even need to know. I just know that I responded to that by closing the window so that I could go to sleep. So vulnerability, also emotional sensitivity. We're kind of much more sensitive. My daughter last night called me on her way home from work as one of her daughters had really triggered her yesterday, and she was just bawling. It was so sad. And, you know, our kids are triggers for us, but lots of people could be causing a lot of triggers for all of us right now. And we have to be able to move through that emotional sensitivity. It can make us all feel more exposed, right? More exposed and more susceptible to the energies of other people to other people's what I could call verbal gunslinging, or, you know, other people's, you know, words that are being used as swords, as in the case of my daughter, or thoughts and issues that are in the shadow that are coming back up to haunt us in some sort of way. But we're being encouraged to embrace those emotions when the moon is in Pisces, trust our intuition and our instinct, and also to connect with the deeper aspects of our own psyches, the psyche even of the world around us. Everything basically, you know, that is of a consciousness has a psyche, if you will. And it's time for us to get more connected to that. Also for a time for more empathy and more creativity and spiritual exploration. This is a highly spiritual sign that the moon is transiting through. Now tomorrow, as we get to 1:41 p.m. Pacific time, so what that'll be 4:41 p.m. for you all on the East Coast, the moon will transit out of Pisces and into the sign of Aries. And that means we'll have a void of course moon, and that void is from 12 noon to 1:41. It's a little over an hour, almost 2 hours of a void moon, which means things kind of go nowhere. If you're trying to, you know, start something or make something happen, that void of course moon isn't going to be the time. It's just not going to take any kind of wings and fly anywhere. So be careful of that void, but it's a short void, and we'll move into Aries energy after that. And of course, that brings a huge change to the energies that we're feeling. Right, to the feeling, to the intuition, to the inner self. And Aries is a dynamic energy. It's ruled by Mars. Mars is in Aries right now. So the moon could be picking up some of the conflict, the action, the confrontational energies that the moon is bringing to us. And it is assertive energy. It's bold energy. And it's impulsive, perhaps. So we need to watch out. There's nothing wrong with being bold, but we don't want to be impulsive, right? We don't want to shoot daggers at people, right? We want to be able to say things in a way that is supportive, that is not causing chaos for people. So we have, you know, high energy levels available to us. It's a fire sign. So we have vitality. We have enthusiasm. We have this energy of action. We want to do, we want to go, we want to be. And it's a great time to start new projects when the moon is in Aries, or to take action on the goals that you have, or to engage in physical activities. I'm hoping it's going to be a nice day physically outside, so I could do something outside. Their impulsiveness has to be met with patience and restraint when the moon is in Aries. We might feel a strong urge to act. And if we act impulsively or take risks that are not correct for us, then we may find ourselves having to redo something, having to fix a broken relationship. Now, while spontaneity like that can be very exhilarating, it's essential that we consider the impact or consequences of our words, of our actions, both on our own lives, but also on the lives of others. So we want to make sure that we maintain control over our own decisions. And how do we do that? We do that because we know what our decision-making tools are. You know what your authority is. You know what your strategy is. If you don't know those words and you don't know what that means, you've got to get your human design chart and perhaps even get a scheduled reading so that you know about how it is that you're here to make decisions. Assertiveness. Aries is assertive energy. It is associated with courage, bravery, that, you know, daring to go forward. So we may feel more confident and self-assured, making it easier for us to assert ourselves out into the world, both in the personal realm, but also maybe in the professional realm. The moon is actually in Aries through Monday, late afternoon, my time. So it'll be early evening for those of you on the East Coast. So it will influence the work day on Monday, not just the weekend. Some people may be more quick-tempered during a transit of the moon in Aries. It is a very confrontational sign or placement for the moon. It's almost like the things that we're able to hide within us, the anger, the frustration, the biting words that we can hold back on a normal day don't have that filter anymore, and they want to come spilling out. So it's best to deal with frustration or anger or upset, you know, by taking a brisk walk, right? Or going out and doing something physical, physical work, so that you don't get to a point where those emotions bust out of you at someone. But you've also got to know that other people who don't know the astrology of the day, they may be doing that same thing, but aiming it at you. So it is sort of a need for us to bring up the compassionate energy, you know, recall it from the day before with the moon in Pisces, and bring more empathy and compassion. Aries values independence and autonomy, and you may feel a strong desire to assert yourself during this transit, your independence, right, to do your thing. And there is always, with fire sign energy, and we put the moon in a fire sign over the weekend, it is restless energy. It's energy that's on the move or wants to move. So being sedentary and not doing anything is not going to be as good as getting out and doing something. We might also feel easily bored. We're craving new experiences, perhaps, or we're challenged to move forward fearlessly into something that has been eluding us, perhaps. So overall, the time of the moon in Aries is very much high energy. It is assertive energy. It's impulsive, perhaps, and that's what we want to watch out for. So it's a time to take action and put your best foot forward and to pursue your goals with passion and boldness, determination. But remember to temper all of that enthusiasm, that need for impulsivity, with using of your type and your strategy. So you go in the right direction at the right time, say the right things, not say the wrong things, and all of that. But, you know, that doesn't make it a bad weekend at all. In fact, I think this makes the weekend's potential pretty exciting, right? Pretty exciting. All right. Now, good morning to Megan Marie. It's good to see you. J-Lo, hello. She says, ha, I went through that yesterday and the day before, but woo-wee, they did not get a tear from me. They had the girl, that's a you problem, not me. But, you know, that's so funny because that's exactly what I told my daughter on the phone, that it was her daughter's problem, not hers. And yet the emotional response was huge. And my daughter is a Sagittarius. She has an Aries rising sign. So she has a lot of fire. And her Scorpio daughter put out that fire yesterday. And it all went inside, right? And had to be dealt with. Good morning, Christine Buckingham. Good morning, Corey. It's good to see you. And Chester's mom, hello to you as well. And Jacqueline, it's good to see you. Jacqueline Tyler. It's great to have everybody joining us this morning on Friday. Okay, now I'm going to share my screen because I'm going to switch over to human design for a moment. And hold on as I bring that up. All right. So all of you should be seeing this very colorful human design chart that is giving us this idea of what energies are highlighted for this weekend and actually, you know, moving early into the week next week. So let's start here in the throat center. So I thought we would talk about the throat center first, because if you understand the throat center, then maybe you understand what a definition of a gate. By definition, I mean it's being highlighted by a planet. Then maybe you would understand a little more about the energy behind that gate. So in human design, the throat center is the center where we express ourselves. It is communication, where words get moved out into the world in order to become manifest, made manifest. So that center, the throat center, also has a lot to do with manifestation. So manifestation, communication, expression. And in your physical body, it is about the metabolism of the body. And in the throat center, of course, when we're most of those gates have some kind of connection to your thyroid gland. So the thyroid gland being what most medical doctors or scientists will call the master gland. Those of you who are nurses and doctors out there, you'll know what I'm talking about. This is the master gland. And voila, it sits here on the throat center, which is the gearbox or the master center for governing how you express yourselves in the world. Not just through words, although words are an important impact, but how those words build up to create, to have creative power, to bring things made into manifestation, or to communicate your truth to the world. So the center is vital, right? Now, in your human design chart, you could have it colored in, and or it could be white. If it is colored in, you are broadcasting your thoughts and your ideas, and communication is much more natural for you. And you're kind of, what I would tell you in a reading is that you're designed to speak. But the throat center is kind of quirky in that we're all designed in some ways to speak or to manifest or to bring words to life. But if you have a defined throat or a colored in throat, you have an easier time really of bringing those ideas and thoughts and words out versus an open throat center, which if you have this center white in your own chart, you have it open, where you're more designed to wait to be invited to speak so that what you have to say, which by the way is vitally important, can be heard, valued, and recognized. Right? So the open throat center sometimes has problems because they really want to speak. So they interrupt, or they speak over people, or they speak when they're not, when it's not the right timing. And they don't get heard or seen or valued in the same way as a defined throat that does that gets recognized. But it's better for the defined throat even to wait for that kind of permission or invitation to speak, to be able to be really heard for the message that you are carrying. Now, this throat center is about manifestation. And we always say we want to get all the energy from the bottom of the chart up to the throat, and the energies from the head and the Ajna centers down to the throat. And the reason is because that's where all the action takes place in terms of it being manifest. So if you have an idea or an action down here in the sacral that you want to get expressed, it has to find a way to the throat in order to be made manifest. That's just the nature of energy, right? It's pushing up or it's pushing down so that it could be pushed out. I hope that makes sense. So creativity is, this is a center that is linked to creativity and innovation, as in it coming out of you. There are other centers, for example, the emotional center or the solar plexus, that is the cradle or the incubation point for creativity. But it also has to be pushed out of that center and up to the throat to be made manifest. So there is a naturally creative energy that lives here in the throat. And especially when this is defined, you're able to express those ideas quite readily and easily to others. If it is open, then you are needing to be invited in. And once you're invited in to speak or to share, then all of that throat energy comes out in a very awesome way. And this is leadership energy too, right? We have the gate of leadership literally sitting here on the throat center. And it is associated with leadership qualities that allow people to speak with authority or to be very clear about what they are saying. And it also confers an ability to influence others through words. There's pressure here. It's not a pressure center, so to speak, but there is pressure here to speak. I have an open throat, and I know a few of you out there have an open throat. And an open throat is always, I can almost just feel this tingling when I want to say something. And often that's translated by people with open throats into constant stream of talking, with an inability to stop the talking. And that is very frustrating to other people who might want to speak because they can't get heard. So the open throat, wait for the invitation to speak. For example, you are all here this morning listening to me speak. But you came here. That is my open invitation to speak. Otherwise, what would I be doing? Sitting here looking at the screen going, oh, yep, here I am. No, I'm here because you want to hear a message. That is my open throat being invited out in order to speak. All of the channels that form with the throat center, and you've got two channels, that are three, four channels here that can form. You've got three more here. You've got three more here. I think there's 11 altogether that can form with the throat center, which means there are a lot of places where manifestation can happen, right, for everybody. And, you know, depending on how your human design is configured, would tell us how and in what way you are here to manifest. So understanding this throat center is vital because it gives us insights into how we communicate most effectively, how we're built, if you will, to express ourselves and to manifest our desires into the world. It's an essential center, and understanding it then gives us really good guidance about how to pursue our personal growth, our relationships, etc., in our lives. And when we have energies like a Jupiter, which is our next subject, where Jupiter has come to roost on this gate 8 right here on the throat center. So for some of you, you will have the gate 8 open. It'll be white in your human design chart, which means it's an open gate. But now it becomes defined by the planet Jupiter. And interestingly enough, the Earth this week is going to be at the gate 1. So for all of us, starting today, we actually have this whole channel 8-1 that is defined. So now the impact on you as an individual is that if you have an open throat, the throat center is now defined. If you have an open identity center, that center is now defined, at least for the week of May 3rd through May 8th, right? And then that may change unless you have the gate 1 already defined in your human design chart. So again, everybody's configured a little differently, but let's just suffice it to say that this idea of living out our life purpose as a contribution to our fellow humans is a big theme for the week. And focused right now with Jupiter at gate 8, let's take a look there, because this is called the gate of contribution. So the gate 8 is about expansive expression when Jupiter is sitting here. Like, how can we expand ourselves in the way that we express, right? In the way that we talk, in the way that we communicate, in the way that we share, in the way that we create, right? Now, communication here isn't always just spoken either. Usually we think of it as in the words that we say, but, you know, all of the things that we use for communication, so writing, dancing, acting, writing books, all of those things are also enacted during this transit of Jupiter sitting at this gate 8. And the planet Jupiter is sitting at gate 8 until, let's see, I have the dates. From May 3rd through May 25th. So literally the bulk of the month of May is devoted to this throat center, gate 8. And it's about then how we communicate expansively, Jupiter, expansion, growth, optimism, right? So we have this really good way of being able to put words out to people in a way that makes things feel good or broadens the horizons or brings more optimism. And there's also more generosity. The gate is about contribution. What do we contribute? Our time, our money, our resources, our love, our devotion, whatever it is that we are contributing becomes an act of generosity. Right? This is generous. This is abundance. In the context of the throat center, because this is where it is, we may be inclined to share our knowledge, our wisdom, especially with those people around us that we are in, you know, relationship with. And we as individuals may find fulfillment in being able to contribute to the growth and well-being of the people in our families, in our lives, in our clients, just in the world at large. And that comes through communicating, through sharing. There's leadership communication here in this gate with Jupiter. There's the potential for us, there's the potential for our natural leadership qualities to come out. Right? I'm not saying that every one of us now are going to be fighting to be the authority in something or be the leader. But, you know, leadership isn't just about being the leader, right? It's about what you really have as your gifts and your talents that you want to share with the world. That's your leadership, right? And that could be emerging now in a new and powerful way, or in an enhanced way, in a growth-oriented way. Maybe you'll be called upon to lead discussions or to inspire change for the people that you're with, conveying important messages to the people, to a broader audience maybe than what you've done before. So it's a really powerful energy for us to step up and to be seen, heard, valued, and recognized. And of course, anytime we're dealing with Jupiter, we're also needing to align with our values, because the Gate 8 also encourages us to make the contribution along the lines of what our values are and with what our beliefs are. And people that have this by birth may feel a strong sense of purpose, because the Gate 8 is opposite of the Gate 1. Note down here, here's the Gate 1. This is called the Gate of Purpose. And the purpose is to authentically express themselves through a contributory channel. So if you're an artist, maybe you're contributing your voice through a piece of art. Or if you're a writer, through something that you've written. If you're an astrologer, through your insight of astrology. Whatever it is, right, to make that contribution is your leadership role, but also, you know, comes as an alignment to what you value, okay? So there's also expansion through collaboration. This is a collaborative energy, because contribution isn't just, I want to contribute. What does that mean? Right? If I want to contribute, what I'm really saying is I want to give something of myself or of my gifts to the world or to the collective, to my children, to my group, to my family, whatever it is. The contribution is done in a collaborative way. So the theme of collaboration and co-creation also comes up with this particular gate. And understanding, you know, the throat center, the nature of the throat center, and the need and want to get out of us our creative energies can be very helpful over the next few weeks for expansion for each one of us, are for us being more generous with what we communicate and express, how we guide others, how we leverage the qualities of our own gifts and talents and our human design to bring that out into the world. I hope everybody understands that. I'm going to go, let me see if I can go. Oh, I can. I'm going to do this really quick. Good morning, Tina. Good to see you. And Tom says, oh, he's talking to J-Lo there. J-Lo says, oh, mine was with a Scorpio daughter also. Fantastic. So I could tell my daughter that it wasn't just her. It was all about Scorpio yesterday. I wonder if it has to do with Pluto going retrograde. You know what? I wondered that briefly yesterday as well. About, I don't know if it was about 3 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock, something like that yesterday afternoon. I was suddenly so tired. Literally, I sat down in my chair and I was fast asleep. And I was really shocked, because usually I'm on the go, go, go all day, day, day. If I'm going to take a nap, it's usually when I fall asleep watching TV before I go to bed. But no, yesterday I had to take that afternoon nap. And I wondered, does Pluto turning retrograde, moving all of this transformational energy into us, introspectively into us, did that, you know, cause me to feel more tired than usual, like taking on more on my inner planes? I don't know, but it also, I think, had maybe, you know, Scorpios are ruled by Pluto. So definitely a possibility. Tina, starting a new job next week. That's awesome. Chester's mom, me too. Yesterday, I got so tired all of a sudden. It was like that. Exactly. Chester's mom, I was fine 1 minute, and the next minute, I could not keep my eyes open, and I was just like fighting it. Finally, I just went, why am I fighting it? Go to sleep. Yep, and Chiron went into 42 the day before, so we have these huge shifts energetically. We are not immune, right? As above, so below, right? That's the tenet of astrology, human design even, that the planets are archetypal energies that show us what is collectively occurring here on the planet, but also individually through your own charts, right? Okay, let me get back to my presentation here of the human design chart, because I wanted to talk about the connection of the sun at the gate 2, starting today through the 8th, and the earth at the gate 1. So the gate 2 is called the gate of allowing, or sometimes I've heard it called receptivity. It really is about the collective theme of how do we receive? Are we open to receiving, right? Or are we blocking it? Sometimes we're blocking our good, right? Or we're refusing to see the blessings and what's right in front of us. And so we block that. So the gate 2 is all about allowing, that's associated with receptivity, being open, open-minded, open-hearted. It is on the identity center, which is the seat of the soul. So from the soul's perspective, being open, being patient, and allowing things to unfold naturally. This is something that will be in our faces for the next 5 days. And when the sun's here, there is great emphasis placed on surrendering control and trusting the process. So hard, right? That's so hard for us. It's time for us to let go of resistance and to go with the flow of life. Go with the flow or flow with the go. We may find ourselves more attuned to our intuition at this time, to our inner guidance, to listening to the soul, because this is on the soul's center. And we might be more, it might be easier for us to make decisions coming from that deeper sense of knowing rather than just the use of logic, right? Or pattern recognition. The key with the gate 2 in allowing is to just be open and to not try to force things, right? This energy does meet up down here with the sacral, and the sacral holds such life force energy, lots of vitality. And we can find ourselves sometimes forgetting to take that pause and wait for the signs that show us it's the next step, because we can get so busy just doing, right? Just so busy. So be careful with this energy. Be open to allowing and receiving, and yet also being patient as things will arrive, not on your time, but on the universe's time, right? It's kind of one of those things that we humans have to deal with here. The earth will be at the gate 1, and this is what is closing the channel of the 8-1 of contribution. This represents the beginning or the initiation of a new cycle and a new sense of direction or a new sense of purpose. It's funny because people who have the gate 1 defined are often the ones that are hitting me up looking for their life purpose. Now, I think everybody at some point or another looks for their life purpose, right? What am I here to do? Who am I here to be? Where am I supposed to go? Who am I supposed to be with? Am I doing what I came here to do? All those kinds of questions. But those who have this gate defined in the chart by birth are very purpose-oriented, and they're always wanting that check-in with themselves. Am I doing what I'm here to do? Now, all of us this week are going to have that kind of wanting to check in. Am I on purpose? Am I doing the right thing? Am I going in the right direction? We want to clarify our goals. We want to clarify our intentions. We want to align with our true path. That's what this energy is bringing us to. So it is a powerful time, and we're close to the new moon. The new moon actually happens outside of this transit. No, it the day before this transit ends, right? We're in this energy until May 8th. And May 7th is the new moon, at least for us in the US. So interesting, right? That we get this new moon energy set up for us before the new moon. And it's about clarifying then, what is it that we want? What are the goals? And, you know, then establishing those steps that we need to take to get to where we want to go, to align with our purpose, to align with that new direction. And it's an opportune time then for starting new projects or taking on new ventures. So together, when we put the sun at the gate 2 and the earth at the gate 1, it suggests that there's this alignment between receptivity and the ability to stay patient, the ability to be open-minded, that is combined with purposeful action on living out your life purpose or your destiny. So we have to learn to trust this week in the unfolding process of all of that while remaining firmly rooted in what the goals are. What is the purpose? You know, what is my desire? So we might find that if we allow things to move naturally in that direction of desire, that everything happens with greater ease and with more confidence. And guess what? If you learn that this week, it doesn't like go away. It is sort of something that allows you to tap into over the course of time as we go forward through the year. Right? It's like you learn a lesson and you see how it is when there's more ease in the flow, when you're in trust and surrender, when you are aligning yourself with your purpose and with your desires. And then that carries over beyond this week. But also notice where you are in resistance to that. Where are you trying to push and force things to happen? Right? Good stuff. All right, I'm going to stop sharing my screen. Go back and see how people are doing. Are there any questions? We've been waiting for alignments for such a long time. I know. It seems like that, right? We've had all of this energy of potential at our fingertips. And it seems really hard sometimes to sit back and relax and allow. So that puts us in a position of using willpower, determination, to tenacity, force to push things into being. And of course, that never is a good idea, right? It just never works out the way that we think it would. So, all right. Now, it's interesting, Tina, that you're starting a new job next week when there's actually a new moon, right? New moon plus all of this energy of new through intention and through pushing ourselves, doing something new, right? Okay. Now, I have another graphic I want to share because I thought there's one transit astrologically for the weekend that I want to share. But I also wanted to talk a little bit about polar opposites. You'll see why here in just a second. So let me get back into presentation screen here and bring up, nope, not that one. It's a window. Here we go. All right, so hopefully what all of you are seeing right now, and you are seeing this. This is the chart of the day. So every morning when I do a broadcast, I bring up the chart of the day. And can I magnify this in any way? Resize. Wow, this is a new screen. Okay, well, hopefully y'all can, maybe if I just, there we go. If I do this, you can see it. Okay. So when you pull a chart for a day, you get to see where all the planets are at the time the chart is drawn. And of course, what we have is this huge alignment of planets between three signs and relatively few things going on the whole other half of the chart. And the signs engaged here are Pisces, Aries, and Taurus. So if you look in your own astrology chart where those three signs are, if you have planets there by birth, then those planets are being triggered by the transiting planets. So this is really a picture of a transit chart, right? In your own chart, if we pulled a transit chart, you would have planets on the inner wheel here that represent where they were when you were born. And on the outer wheel, you would see the planets again, but based on where they are today, right? So that tells us, like, what is the energy that's being drug up in our lives, right? If this were a person, their 10th house issues are up, their 11th house issues are up, and 12th house issues are up, because that's where those three signs are. So those are the issues that are going to have the most bang for their buck. But as I've been going through this myself, knowing that, in fact, it's not quite these three. No, it's different. But knowing, you know, in my own life, how things are going and how, I want to say difficult, but that it's not really been difficult, but it's been a little bit, there's been a lot of shadowy energy coming up along with everything, every potential to be bold, let's say, with the Aries energy, to be prosperous, let's say, with the Taurus energy, to be creative and imaginative, let's say, with the Piscean energy. And it occurred to me this morning, that's because on the other side of the chart over here are the signs that are opposing the three signs that all the planets are in. And those are Virgo, Libra, and Scorpio. And I drew these yellow lines to show you this Virgo is opposite of Pisces, which you can't see the sign there. There we go. Libra opposite of Aries, and Scorpio opposite of Taurus. And what often happens in these polarized energies, they're polarized because they're on opposite sides of the spectrum, right? They have some commonality energies, right? Pisces is water and has an affinity for earth energy in Virgo. They have some things that are commonalities, but what often happens is the more negative side of the sign, the negative of the opposite sign, comes through into the sign where all the planets are. God, I hope I'm making myself clear here. So let's just take an example. Let's look at Virgo and Pisces. So right now we have the moon in Pisces, we have Saturn in Pisces, we have Neptune in Pisces. So Saturn here taking us into boundary issues, Neptune also, you know, boundarylessness, the moon bringing us imagination and creativity. And that's, of course, applying to a conjunction with Saturn. But what are some of the shadow energies from the opposite sign Virgo that can be coming up? And so I made a list here for everybody of what these signs, what energies, now not all of them can be showing up, and maybe none of them are, but if you're having issues in the creative and imaginative area of your life, Pisces and whatever house that's in, this would be a person who has to apply creativity, imagination, instinct, and intuition to their career or profession or to their own personal authority. So what could be coming up for that person? Nitpickiness, being too perfectionistic, not seeing the beauty in what's right in front of them, right? Getting too much caught up into the shadow energy there, which can then cause worry and anxiety, rigidity or inflexibility, self-criticism, insecurity, workaholicism, right? So these are shadows for all of us that are filtering through the house and the sign where you have the moon, Saturn, and Neptune right now. Okay, let's take another example. Let's look at the energy of Aries. Look how packed Aries is here. We have Mars, the North Node, Mercury, the part of fortune, which is just typical for this chart, Chiron, and the goddess Eris. So there's a lot of energy available here for bold movement forward, for creating independence by letting go of codependence, for actually seeing the value of interdependence, for coming up with your own identity or living your own authentic self, your identity. And if we look at the opposite sign of Libra, what are some of the more negative or shadowy energies that might prevent us from really living out loud in that Aries energy? And one is indecision, waffling, people pleasing. I'm afraid to step out and be my bold self because I might step on somebody else's toes. Right? Or I might not be accepted. I might not be loved. Superficiality, Right? Libra can be superficial. I just like take the thinness off the top. Dependency, conflict avoidance, injustices and unfairness. These are some of the shadow energies that could be being pulled into those Aries planets at this time in your life that could be preventing you from really taking the highest road possible in creating this identity of boldly going forward and being your true authentic self. If we look at Taurus, now Taurus right now has four planets, Venus, the Sun, Uranus, and Jupiter. And as of the 15th of the month, we'll have Mercury here as well. And when we look at the snapshot of what goes on in the opposite sign, Scorpio, we can see that manipulation and control comes up. Either you're being manipulated or you find yourself trying to control the situation, control others around you. Jealousy and possessiveness comes up. There is also obsession and this idea of being fixed on an idea and not being able to break free of that. When, a lot of this Taurus energy kind of filters through, there's this need for us to be really creative in how we move forward, but we can be stuck in this destructive behavior, or we can be resentful that, things don't just happen for us in the way we want them to happen. Revenge, probably not. It could be, I honestly think that my daughter's daughter, my granddaughter, was being a little bit revengeful yesterday as a Scorpio, getting the best of her mom in that situation. There's also this fear of vulnerability in the sign of Scorpio. And it is, where we can sometimes feel like if we showed our true selves, if we really broke out of our old pattern, that we're suddenly thrust into vulnerability. So we hold ourselves back. Boom. That's a lot of shadowy energy that we might be dealing with the number of planets that are trying to push us in these new directions. All right. I hope everybody gets that, understands that. Let me go back to here. J-Lo says, haha, the universe is picking on me, making the chart, putting the chart where my natal Pisces on the 10th is pushing me to get going. And I'm so picky with putting things out. Indeed. So you guys get that, right? You get this, you get what's going on here, I hope, because we don't live. I mean, right now we're not just living Pisces, Aries, Taurus. We're also living Virgo, Libra, Scorpio. We're dealing with the shadow energy that could be filtering in. The good stuff could be filtering in too. So I don't mean to say that it's only the shadow energy that can filter in. But if there's shadow energy filtering in that's stopping you from doing the things that these planets are pushing us into, then it's got to be likely some of these kinds of energies. And I know that sounds like a lot, and it is. It actually is quite a lot of things to understand. But isn't it better to understand that, these are sort of filmy energies, right? It's not true that you have to be held back because of a feeling of vulnerability. But if it's showing up in your reality that you're feeling overly vulnerable about being your true self, then the shadow is holding you in place and you've got to deal through the shadow. So it's good to know what these things are, right? So that you can deal with them. Okay, now the last thing that we'll talk about before I do a card reading for this morning. Over the weekend, we have Mars in Aries coming into a sextile, which is a harmonizing aspect with the planet Pluto. So Mars is in Aries, and Mars has a lot of power now because he owns that territory. He rules Aries. So that action, that impatience, perhaps that spontaneity or impulsiveness that we're feeling, it's very powerful as an action driver or a catalyst for action. And when we have the sextile then to Pluto in Aquarius, who is innovative, it's pushing us toward innovation, to being more eccentric or more in our unique expression of ourselves and our gifts, then What we have is empowerment through action in this particular transit, Mars sextile Pluto. And, you know, Mars is already a dynamic and assertive guy, right? It's a placement that is in love with taking action. And when you have Pluto, you have transformation ability, right? You have change, you have empowerment. So now we have empowerment in action or through action, putting those words together. So this is the determination to drive forward. This is courage to change, right? This is bringing this boost of confidence that hopefully pushes us forward, empowering us to really overcome the obstacles of our goals and of our dreams, our intentions, and putting it out there into the world. Focused intentions. Mars and Pluto bring focus and depth to the surface and allow for us to have an extra layer of that ability to be determined, to persevere, to take action that is consistent and not just, you know, in a reactive sort of way. This is transformation and renewal, starting something new, allowing things to change, to be catalyzed for growth purposes, to move us in a growth in a new pattern, perhaps of growth, to release old patterns, old beliefs, to let go of all of those shadows that we just talked about, that I just showed you graphically, and to move forward, to initiate something new, to take powerful action for change in your own lives, but that also implies change that impacts the collective, the people around you. When you change, others change, right? The world changes when you change. There's also strategic planning. This is a great time to sit down with yourself or with your a group of people that you're creating something with, or, you know, others in your business or career that give you a strategic planning session, perhaps, where this is harmonious energy. So there's a nice smooth flow of ideas and of the plans that can be laid down. There's strategic thinking. So there's more ease in creating decisions that take us forward. We might find ourselves being able to think more strategically. And what I mean by strategically is that we're looking not only at, you know, the day in front of us, but also maybe the next month and maybe even the next season or few months or the next year, right? Strategic planning for the future, considering the long-term implications of everything that we do, including the implications for things that you don't do, right? What are you holding back from doing? And what would be the impact of that on your life? So overall, this is good energy between these two planets. I love that. There's strategic planning, focused intention, and this idea of change that can come to us or through us with much more ease and grace than usual. I did not get to talk about Saturn at gate 22, but since he's there from May through August, I think we could talk about that on Monday without fear that you won't get what's going on with Saturn in your chart. Okay, now let's do a card reading for the weekend. I think I want to pull a dragon. This feels to me, by the way, like dragon energy, because dragons are action-oriented. Dragon is fire, right? Fire energy of passion, of desire, of forward momentum. So let's see what dragon we can take with us on this journey through the weekend, helping us to get through the shadows. We get Kuan Yin's pink dragon. It brings firm love that resets your karmic balance. See all your cords dissolved by transcendent love. Enjoy your freedom. Look for the divine around you. Dang, that is a pretty dragon. I don't think we've ever pulled this dragon. This is Kuan Yin's pink dragon. And you kind of have to look closely because I couldn't find the dragon at first, but the dragon's head is right up here. Right? It's very light pink. You see the eyes. It has like antlers or something. I don't know. And sitting on the lotus flower, symbol for Kuan Yin. So let's see what this is about. And Kuan Yin's pink dragon is a fifth dimensional dragon. What page? 46, not 64. And it says, Kuan Yin was a great and revered dragon master who lived for 2,000 years in China. Her fifth dimensional pink dragons created special portals for her so that she could go through them and rest in higher planes. This is how she was able to maintain a physical body for such a long period of time. Kuan Yin's dragons are the most beautiful pale pink color, the luminous pink of the sacral chakra. They will pour their transcendent love into any cords that tie us to others, whether from this life or any other, in any dimension or plane of existence, dissolving all karma under the law of grace. I wonder if those cords could be to beliefs, to patterns, to things that we hold ourselves back from. Choosing this card offers you an opportunity to heal all your relationships, including those from past lives that you may be unaware of. Ask Kuan Yin's beautiful pale pink dragons to dissolve the cords that still tie you to others and sit quietly while they do so. You may sense or feel them releasing you completely. Take a moment to feel the freedom that this offers you. These great-hearted dragons will then help you to see with eyes of love. Look for the divine in everyone and be aware of all situations from a higher understanding, knowing that Kuan Yin's gentle pink dragons are by your side. These gracious dragons will enable you to enrich your relationships and transform your friendships. They will help you to treat all people with greater respect, care, and love than ever before. Remember to thank them for enhancing your life. There you go. Kuan Yin's pink dragon. I love it. All right, that is it for me. I wish all of you a wonderful weekend. I will see you on Monday, where we'll take up Saturn at gate 22 on the solar plexus, the gate of grace. Such an interesting place for Saturn to be. I can't wait to unravel that for you. And thank you all for being here today. Bye for now. Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Jean Key's Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.